Luis and I and the team have set up a charity program that's called Ignite. We are trying to fund and support careers in motorsport for underprivileged children from a diverse background. And we have funded the charity with a couple of million pounds.
Hello and welcome. Today, I'm thrilled to be talking to my dear friend Toto Wolff. Toto is an Austrian-born former racing driver who still dedicates his time to motorsport. And he doesn't like if I say he's a racing driver because his real passion is also into finance and business. So he became the team principal and CEO of Mercedes-AMG Petronas F1. I worked with him for a couple of times, so he used to be my boss. Now I'm back into his office and we're talking about his career. We're talking about how he likes watches, about his special edition. And Thursday the 30th, which is yesterday, if you're listening today, the auction of a special watch is starting. And you can bid on one special edition Toto Wolff X IWC. You're gonna like it. It's a really nice watch. And I'm looking forward to this episode of Partners in Time. Hey, Toto, what a pleasure to have you on Partners in Time. How are you?
I'm good, Paul, and you?
I'm okay. I'm all right. I want to talk about watches in a little bit. But first of all, I have a couple of questions about your job. So what's a typical, how would you introduce yourself? What's your occupation as of now?
My occupation is that I'm the team principal, the chief executive officer of the Mercedes Formula One team and co-owner.
What do you do in 24 hours? Like, what's a typical work day? Where is your office, for example?
Well, my office is in Brackley, but I do travel a lot. It's 22 Grand Prix race weekends that generally go from Thursday until Sunday. But I try to spend as much time possible in the factory. We're having 1,000 people that work on the chassis side and 1,000 people on the engine side. And therefore, it's important to spend as much time as possible there.
How did you get, like, we're not exactly at the office, but how do you get to work? What's the typical commute?
Well, the typical commute is like anybody else. I take the car. I drive 25 minutes from Oxford to Brackley. And if I'm not in the UK, I commute by airplane.
That's kind of nice. So could you say you put your passion into your workplace? Are you passionate about motorsport?
I've been passionate about motorsport since I was 18. I was a driver and then switched on to the dark side of the sport into finance and then started to buy shares in racing teams and ended up in Mercedes here running it.
And we're talking, 18 is a little late, so it probably started earlier, right? So when was the first contact in your life with motorsport? When was the first time you remember anything about racing?
Well, that's unfortunately the truth, that I only got in touch when I was 18. I wasn't aware that there was a possibility of go-karting, neither did we have the financial means. So it was literally by visiting a friend, by sheer coincidence, on the Nürburgring. He was racing in junior formula and seeing him compete. And this is when the fire was ignited. So very, very late.
It is kind of late, right? So normally you kind of see it at the age of 8 or 9, or your parents bring you in. Is that why the passion lasts so long in your life? Because it started a little later, or?
I don't know. I think that for making it as a Formula One driver or to become a champion, you definitely need to start earlier. And this is what I realized at the age of 22 or 23 when I decided to pursue another career. But it gets younger and younger. I have a 5-year-old son and he's in go-karts.
And what you, because a lot of people want to put, like, they want to fulfill their passion into some sort of work thing as well as they, was it your dream? Would you consider that as a dream or did it start being a dream? Was it your dream being a driver maybe? And you kind of, because we've had some talks about this, did you make your dream come true?
When you're a driver, you love the driving and that hasn't changed. And your dream obviously is to make it all the way into Formula One and become a world champion. But then I changed perspective. And for quite some while, I wasn't really interested in the racing side. It was more venture capital and private equity. And at a certain stage in my life, then racing kind of appeared again. And I competed as a hobby in some GT races. and enjoyed it, but this was never again like a professional pursuit of a career as like somebody else goes for tennis or golfing. And then the door opened into the world of Formula One, and this is when I combined my two passions, and that is finance and racing, and here I am, and I enjoy almost every day.
If you have to decide, is it 50-50, finance and motorsport or racing, or is one leading a little bit regarding your passion?
If you would have asked me 10 years ago, it would have definitely been finance, because that's the real world. Okay. But today, racing and the results are everything. The stopwatch generally never lies. And if you're successful on track, you're going to be successful commercially. And that's why I take so much pleasure in running the team.
What's been your biggest success? In business first?
I don't think I would really pick one big success, because there were successes all along my career, and what happened to be a big financial success when I was 30 would have not been a big financial success now when I'm 50. So I have great memories for many of the years of milestones that I achieved. But the truth is, I'm in my 50th chapter of my book, and the 30th chapter was great too.
Are you still hungry?
Hungry. Every day I wake up. I wake up hungry because my ambition hasn't changed. Maybe my priorities, once you're being a father, have shifted slightly, but it didn't change anything on my energy levels and my motivation to pursue my dreams.
And how about personal life? What would you say is the biggest success you made in your personal life?
My biggest success is definitely my marriage. I'm lucky to be married to my best friend, my wife, and I couldn't wish definitely for any better relationship. I cannot imagine having a better relationship. And obviously my three kids, they're also very different, each with their own personality and character. And spending time with my wife and my kids is just the best moments.
One of the questions I ask every guest of this podcast is, what would you do if you would have more time on your hand? Like the day has six extra hours, or the week has an extra day, or the month has an extra week. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? How would you spend the extra time you would earn if somebody gives it to you?
Definitely know that the extra time, I would like to have it in the night, because I'm a late worker.
Okay.
I'm a night owl. And if I could have like 2 hours more between 1 and 3, I would definitely work these 2 hours and then extend my sleep more into the day.
How much did you sleep tonight? Do you know that? Are you tracking it?
Yes, because I'm regimented and disciplined about my sleep. I often go too late, but I always try to have 7.5 hours.
Okay, that's a total key to success.
I'm not sure that is the key to success. And if you ask my wife, she would say that I'm up far too late, but it works for me.
Not everything is going super smooth this year. So it's a little bit of a setback, probably. How did you handle that? How is there any advice you can give me or the audience how to go through times when they're not totally perfect and you're not winning all over the place?
We've been very fortunate to win 8 consecutive world championship titles, which hasn't been done in any other sport. But we knew that one day it's going to be more difficult. And this is exactly what happened. And it's an interesting life experience, because we talked so much about leadership and how to handle pressure, and we knew that this moment is going to come. And interestingly, we stuck to our values. Obviously, we had difficult moments. There is a lot of pressure. Was it always a smooth ride between us? It wasn't. But I think the tough love discussions is something that we have always anticipated, because we have within the team the same objectives. We just want to win again and come back on to the right path. And this is what we're doing at the moment. And I hope one day I will be looking back and say, this year was super important for our continuous development and necessary.
And would you, how did it, like your job is sometimes you're the principal of a school, so you need to handle the class, the drivers, teachers and everything. So did that change after when you're not winning?
I think in our organization, there is no such thing as kids. We're all on the same level. Each of us plays in their position. We're not a group of 5-year-olds that run after the ball playing football, but we let the ball run between us. And I have a strictly assigned position. I know what I have to do, like the drivers know what they have to do, and the engineers and marketing and communications, finance and legal. And this is the strength of the team, that we're not staring at the abyss and saying, what can we do each of us for engineering? No, it's the engineers who do this. And I just try to provide guidance.
And is it still, because one of the most impressive things about you personally in my life was that you trust people's opinions and their quality maybe in each chapter of everything. I've never seen and met anybody who was that trustworthy. Maybe Thomas Tuchel, the coach of, he's Chelsea coach right now. He's the same. He trusts different opinions. It's easy to trust people if you're winning. Are you still trusting each and like every segment of it, or did that change this year?
I think if I wouldn't trust the person that is within my organization, it is my fault. Then I have failed to hire the right person or develop the person, set up an organization where people can actually bring their A game. So I need to then start with myself and say, where did I fail if I were not to trust a person anymore? And generally, it is the same team that won eight consecutive world championship titles. But obviously, we're just people. We got the same motivation and energy levels, the same hunger. And I'm convinced that each and every person that is responsible today or has a responsible position in the team is doing the best possible job. And I have faith.
Sounds absolutely like that's going to come back, the win positions. Let's talk about watches. So I'm wearing an IWC Mojave Big Pilot Top Gun edition on my wrist over here. How do you like that?
I find it quite cool because it is a little bit military style, desert.
Yeah.
It looks robust. I mean, you know, I'm a fan of these watches.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good. And you have on your wrist, as we speak, the Big Pilot Perpetual Calendar. I think the name is Toto Wolff X Mercedes AMG Petronas Formula One team. Is that the right word for it?
Yes. First of all, I need to say that we have had a great relationship with IWC for a long time. And we're lucky that we could have had an input in the creative process of the various watches. I got a fantastic watch last year when I got more excited in the race. I got a watch that could sustain 20 Gs and that was necessary.
That they really changed after you hit, like, I've seen you on TV. So you hit the desk when you got mad. Which is good that you hit the desk and not something else. But IWC called you after that and said, we may need to change the watch on your wrist.
Yeah, it was quite funny because Chris Granger, who runs IWC, we have established a really close relationship. And he said, I have something that you need. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's a watch that can sustain your tantrums. It's a watch that can sustain 20,000 Gs. And I got a Big Pilot's watch shock absorber XPL in our green racing colors. And I'm so thankful. I've been wearing it all along and it hasn't got any scratch, nor is it being damaged.
Yeah, because it can, it's good with your temper. But going back to the watch you have on your wrist right now, it's a perpetual calendar. First of all, how does it feel to have a perpetual calendar named after you? Like that's your signature. It has your name on it. That's an achievement.
It's funky, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fan of the Top Gun watches anyway, and of the perpetual calendar. It's big watches. I'm tall and big, and yeah, that needs a big watch. But then we started to discuss how would I design a watch, and Chris and the creative departments were very open, and this is where we came up with the Toto Wolff edition. And it's a massive watch. It has the luminous green, but more intense than on any other watch. So in the night, you almost have like a green, vault green collar.
So you're going to be the cool guy in the club. If you step in the club, you're going to be seen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke to my 20-year-old son and said, wouldn't that be cool to have a vault green watch in the club? And he said, that's exactly what we need. And I love the watch.
And what about the band? It's a metal. Is it all Serratanium?
Yes, the band is a Serratanium band. It makes the watch look even more massive. So for strong people, it needs to look strong and resistant. But there is also a conventional strap that I like too. But obviously the big one, the real one, is the one with the Serratanium band.
It's very nice. And I have good news because one of those watches, it's only 50 pieces. It's going to be an auction. And first of all, I want to talk about where the proceeds go because they go to Ignite, which is something Lewis and you did start, right? So can you tell me a little bit about Ignite?
Yeah, so it's 100 watches actually. And I think that is really a strong sign of the partnership that we had with IWC that we are doing this together. All watches have been sold out. So this is the last possibility of getting the Toto Wolff edition. And Lewis and I and the team have set up a charity program that's called Ignite,
okay,
where we are trying to fund and support careers in motorsport for underprivileged children from a diverse background. And we have funded the charity with a couple of million pounds.
Okay.
And now the proceeds of this watch are going to go in there.
That's very, very cool. I'm going to bid on it because, like, if that's the only way to get one, I'm going to, but I'll see how high the bids are going to go. There's a little bit of red stuff on that watch as well. Like, what's the crown is red, or the lower part of the crown is red? Do I see that right? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
Why? Did you change teams? What happened there? Like, red?
No, I think this is one was part of the design feature that we discussed with Chris, my best friend, closest ally, and brother in crime was Niki Lauda, and Niki Lauda passed away in 2019, and I miss him dearly. The team misses him, and I wanted to have an homage to Niki, who was known because of his red cap, by having a red circle around the crown. And it's a feature that you don't see at first sight, but when you know you're wearing the watch, you have a little bit of Niki Lauda on the watch too.
So you kind of, like, if you're changing the time within time zones, which you probably do a lot, then you get a little hint, Niki says hello, which is kind of nice. I really like that, because you only see it if you screw the crown out to set the time and set the date.
Exactly. And this is what I would wish for the lucky 100 people that bought the watch or got the watch, that when they adjust the time, that they think about Niki Lauda.
Very, very good. I could talk for hours, but our time is limited over here. So I have one last question. If you could have stopped time at one moment in your first 50 years of that chapter of the book, the first 50 chapters, what would that moment be? Like, if you say, okay, I want to stop at one moment for a little bit, so enjoy it a little bit more. It's a little bit. What was the best moment so far?
The best? There's not one best moment, but I think there's best moments with my family where I'm feel true happiness and I can start to enjoy that, not being restlessness like I was when I was young. And there is moments racing because I feel a strong bond with every team member. And when we win together, this is a fantastic feeling.
Thank you very much for your time, my dear friend Toto. For those who want to get one of the 100 Big Pilots Perpetual Calendar Toto Wolf X Patronas AMG Mercedes Formula One. I did get the wrong name, but you know, the watch.
You
will...
got it wrong.
Yeah.
It is called Mercedes AMG Patronas Formula One Team. But it also took me a few years to get it right. So that's okay.
I have some time. So the proceeds go to Ignite, but you can auction it online at Bonhams. That's the place where the watch will be auctioned. Good luck with that. I'm going to see how it goes. And it ends on July 7th. That's the end of it. So I think this podcast comes out at the July 1st. So you have 7 days if you want to bid for it. And it goes to a good cause, to Ignite, which is an initiative you should really support. And it's a great thing.
Yeah, I hope the bids are going to go high up because it's for charity. And if not, Paul, you and I need to step in and be part of the bidding.
We will. I will bid for sure. I don't get a watch like that. That's my only chance to get hands on that one.
Well, then let's go for it. Yeah. And whoever buys the watch, I think we can also give him a nice little letter signed and approved.
Absolutely. Perfect. Thank you very much and enjoy.
Thank you, Paul.